Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Please pray with me now for wisdom and understanding of God's Word. Appear to us now, O Lord, in the hearing of your Word. Call us and guide us that we may be saved. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. Please follow along as I read. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for this child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Laura read the scripture lessons story to the kids in the form of a lovely picture book. Ann Booth, the author of the book, wants us to feel that sense of the tiny infant Jesus as a refugee fleeing for his life. That's how Matthew wants us to understand this story as well. We're going to hear throughout Jesus' teaching how he identifies with the vulnerable, how he stands with those who are most in need. And that's what this story is doing here today on Epiphany Sunday. I didn't make the choice to join these two stories together. Matthew did that. So let's hear this scripture lesson, this time from the Bible. This immediately follows those magi returning to their own land by another road. "Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.' When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or younger, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. 'A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more.' When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms at the end of his teaching in the Gospel of Matthew that the way that we welcome the stranger is the way that we welcome Jesus himself. And that's only part of why there is a refugee story on Epiphany Sunday this year. Today's story reminds us that we face the choice of whether and how to welcome Jesus. But there's one more character, as you heard in the story. We had those three wonderful characters, although Matthew doesn't tell us how many there were. We have those some wonderful characters, the Magi who welcome Jesus with these three beautiful gifts. And then there's Herod. Herod, who told the Magi that he really desperately wants to go and worship this child. You sort of picture Herod twirling his villain mustache as he says that. I want to go, worship sounds right, this infant child born to be king of the Jews. Really, we know how Herod welcomes, if you can use that word, this child. He welcomes Jesus' arrival with self-serving violence. Notice the Magi arrived to ask King Herod where the baby born to be king of the Jews was, and Herod is like, oh, you mean the Messiah, right? And so he asks where the Messiah is to be born. Like Herod has spent his entire reign kind of waiting for his comeuppance. That's both cynical and paranoid, isn't it? It's cynical in the sense that Herod's imperial power knows that it's not based on anything. It knows that it's only based on the threat of violence to those he rules. And it's paranoid because he knows, knowing that his power is not actually based on anything, he's always making enemies, and that means that he is always under threat from those that he claims to rule. And so he says, yeah, I'll go worship this newborn king of the Jews, because he wants to go and prevent what we understand is inevitable. We understand that God is about this project of bringing Christ into the world, and there's nothing Herod can do to prevent that. So Herod is one side of that choice of whether to welcome Jesus or to resist what God is doing in the world. Now, if you are half as uncomfortable as I am with this choice, I will give you a small, tiny escape clause. The escape clause is that there's no outside evidence outside the world of the Bible. There's no outside evidence that this story actually reflects a specific historic event. That is to say, there's no independent record of Herod ordering this particular massacre of all of the boys age 2 or under in Bethlehem. But then Herod did have plenty of other people killed, so it's a really small comfort that he didn't happen to do this particular one, historically speaking. But I don't need this story to be historical, because this story, well, is history. This story keeps happening throughout history. Herod's power was built just like this, over the bodies of the innocent people that were in his way. As he ascended the throne, as Rome solidified its power, and there have been Herods throughout the centuries and today, this story keeps happening. And the world still keeps creating refugees. Countless refugees from the wars in Syria or South Sudan or Afghanistan. People who are on the move because of because a changing climate compounds centuries of political and economic exploitation, compounded itself by the modern reality of violence, the forced removal of native people and their cultures, languages, and identities from land that white people wanted, not to mention the personal kinds of refugees who are created when children flee or are exiled from their families because it's no longer safe for them to be their full selves in those families. And of course, histories of policies and cultural norms that devalue the lives of people of color in our world. I don't need this story to have happened at some specific time because I can look at so many specific times and see how this story happens. I can see how many times we are presented with the question of whether we will welcome Jesus in the one who is least, who is most vulnerable. But there's another way. There is the way of the Magi, the way of the Magi who welcome Jesus with every gift at their disposal. The Magi, however many of them they were, whether they were kings, they weren't, whether they were wise men, that's a pretty good translation. However many Magi there were, Matthew tells us that they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. We don't know why they brought these things, but we have typically, traditionally, connected these things to ways of understanding who Jesus is. Just a few minutes ago, you sang about the ways of connecting these gifts with who Jesus is. As we sang, we three kings, however many of them they weren't kings, we sang in those middle verses of that song how we understand who Jesus is. Gold, a gift for a newborn king. And we can ask ourselves the question of how do we welcome what that stranger in our midst can contribute, what that stranger in our midst can offer, and how they can invite us into a fuller, richer life together. We sang about incense for a God incarnate. And we can ask ourselves, how do we recognize the sacred worth of that stranger who is here among us? The sacred worth of that human life God loves so dearly. We sang about myrrh as a gift for one who will suffer and die. And we can ask ourselves how we can welcome the brokenness and the pain of those who gather with us here. Jesus asks us to go that step farther, to recognize that how we welcome Jesus is how we welcome any stranger, rather, is how we welcome Jesus. And so how do we build a community where the pain of each life finds a safe place as we hold it together here in prayer? Where the sacred value of every life is recognized, as we welcome people not for what they can contribute, but for who they are, and as we welcome what each of us can contribute and offer to our shared life together. That's the world that I pray for on this Epiphany, as I reflect on the ways that I do and don't successfully welcome Christ in the one who arrives, the one who comes to upset and transform the world that I have inherited. I pray that we welcome the stranger and the outcast, even and especially when their stories unsettle our own stories. I pray that when we gather at this table, that we know the joy of feeding and being fed beyond the boundaries that we draw around ourselves. I pray that we repent and believe the good news of Jesus, that if Christ comes among us as a refugee, then there is welcome for all in Christ's name, for you, for me, and for that stranger who longs for welcome. Will you pray with me? Jesus, our Lord, you identify with the lost, the rejected, and the vulnerable. We confess the ways that we have victimized you and refused you a place at the table with us. Teach us the wisdom to serve your neighbors, our neighbors, in your name. And most of all, give us the courage to welcome you just as we would if we realized that it's you we were welcoming. We pray for your sake and in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.